So I want to invite Rose Ingrid and Asma to come on up, and I'll tell you a little bit more about each of them as they're making their way. Coming to us from Connections through Emmanuel College, Asma Ali is a student at Emmanuel College in the spiritual care and psychotherapy stream. This past summer, she received her certification with the College of Registered Psychotherapists of Ontario, and she describes this as one of her best achievements and a life milestone. Congratulations to you. She's lived in Toronto for 14 years with her family and is the second oldest of five. Rose Ingrid Benjamin describes herself as a member of the Haitian diaspora settled here on Turtle Island. She is a singer, actor, and writer creating at the intersection of art, faith, and justice. And I'm thankful to both of you for being here. I want to give a little intro before Asma and Rose Ingrid share their reflections. One of the reasons why we're having this service is I've just been recognizing the past number of months the truth that change really is the only constant. I've just been so conscious in our world and also in my own life of so much shifting and changing. You know, I mean, just this weekend, like what's happening in our world. You know, we're all waiting with bated breath to see what happens tomorrow. We're in the middle of an election. No party is really the front leader. We have no idea what shifts will take place, if there will be shifts. Globally, I don't know about you, but I was listening to the BBC yesterday to see if the Parliament in Britain would finally, vote in Brexit. They have not. There is, no change, and yet tons of change. We don't know how things will play out in Hong Kong, impeachment investigations in the U.S., shifts, change. And in talking and visiting with so many of you since moving into this new role here at Rosedale United, I see that there is no age or stage where anyone says, I'm totally stable now. And I used to think that. I know when I was a teenager, I thought, when you're an adult, everything is smooth. Or when you're over 60, or when you're over 90, yeah, right. Not likely. Things never stop shifting and changing. In the past few months here at church, we know we've been going through shifts. We've been making changes. There's been staffing changes. It's a fluid place. And so I thought, it's time to embrace change. It's time to talk about it. And over the coming months, like Jacob wrestling with the stranger in the night and discovering the spiritual insights and blessings of change, we will keep wrestling by hearing stories of change, but also of spiritual transformation, wrestling and blessing. And so I turn things over to Asma. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Asma. I will start. So at this moment in my life, I am in a transitional phase. I'm entering a new stage. I am starting my career. I am living more fully into responsibility for other people, clients, patients, for my family, and for myself as a professional. I am also in full pursuit of building my work and trying to articulate my orientation as a spiritual care provider and as a qualifying RP. But before all of that, before this September, I found myself in a lot of emotional pain, especially this summer. This pain was caused by my awareness of the changes that are coming and the responsibility that I'm going to be fully living into. And that pain was mostly fear-based. I can now say that that was a fear of transition. And the spiritual and psychological consequence for me of that fear were loss of confidence and doubt. I lost confidence in myself, in my capacity to do the work. And I remember doubting my training and my capacity as a professional. I would experience thoughts like, I'm never going to do anything that's worth doing. I'm wasting my time with psychotherapy. And I'm actually not going to be a very good therapist. But one of the more painful negative thoughts was the one that would say to me, if you can't even challenge these negative thoughts you're experiencing, how are you going to help anyone challenge theirs? And, you know, you're an idiot, and everyone around you is soon going to discover that. And I remember when I was writing this, it was so painful to write those thoughts and to write that. And it's interesting. I'm feeling right now, they're kind of funny. It's not true, but I thought I might cry when I was reading that, so I'm surprised that I'm, they're funny. As you can see, my responses to that transition was anxiety and fear. And fear has such a clever way of trapping, narrowing your vision, and making your conceptual reality negative. Fear and anxiety, for me, robbed me of compassion and kindness. And I found it so hard to be kind to myself. And as a result, I found it really hard to be kind to those around me that wanted to support me. One of my favorite spiritual leaders is Eckhart Tolle. And one of those days that I was really in that negative space, I remember listening to his sessions with Oprah on Super Soul Sunday. And he said something that struck me. He said that all negative thoughts are ego-based. And the goal of the ego is to keep a conditioned and therefore a false sense of self safe, or to keep a specific identity from changing. So I experimented with myself. Whenever I had those negative and fear-based thoughts, I would classify them as ego-based. Thoughts meant to keep me and my identity as a student safe. Thoughts designed to keep me exactly where I am, to prevent me from change and from living more fully. That experiment kind of worked. I saw my fear as a protective response and not something bad. That experiment and looking at my fear and my anxiety as ego-based, but also to keep me safe, helped me to be kinder to myself. I think that was one of the best spiritual gains that I've had from that experience. Now, from what I hear about the experiences that the congregation is going through, I want to invite you into looking at the fear of transition and the fear of change as ego-based, one that's designed to keep you safe. And maybe in that way, or maybe looking at it in that way, you can be kinder to yourself in whatever, in however you respond to the change. So, another part of this speech, we were asked to talk about what we've learned So this little section, hopefully it'll take about 2 minutes, I dedicated to reflecting on what I think I learned from that experience. Okay. I learned that, you know, and we all know this, but it's really interesting when you learn it with your body. I learned that change is another word for life. You know, we are all aware of the changes that are happening to our bodies, to our relationships with nature, to our planet, in our politics. And, you know, they are, and some of these changes can be exciting, they can be anticipated, and they can be easy to accept. And some of the changes are mundane, they're regular, they're unexciting and unconscious. And then some of them can be terrifying, unexpected, and dreadful. But ultimately, they're all change. They're all part of life. And what blocks us, or what might block us from experiencing these spiritual and psychological parts of that change, is fear, inspired by the ego and by conditioned beliefs that things should be this way, or that if things change, I would lose something. So to live more fully, I think, to live more fully with change, I think first things we need to do is to acknowledge the change, to be aware of the change, and not, at least not to ignore it. For me, this was pointing to myself with the help of my therapist that I am experiencing an important transition in my life. Secondly, I think the second thing that helps us is compassion with ourselves as we experience the change. And compassion and kindness can help sort of assuage the side effects of fear. And hopefully with awareness and compassion, we can move into, we can experience that emotional transition within ourselves to accept what's going on and to find the joy in what's happening. I want to leave the congregation with the kind and reassuring words of Mr. Tole regarding change. Of course, he says, there's constant fear when we live in this forever fleeting and insubstantial world. So know this, nothing is going to work out as you planned it. Everything is going to be different from how you expect it, and nothing, and things will constantly challenge you. That's it. Thank you.
That was a good word. There will be mountains that I will have to climb, and there will be battles that I will have to fight, and victory or defeat, it's up to me to decide. But how can I expect to win if I never try? It was a gray day, mid-November 2017. I had finally corralled myself into the shower after spending the better part of a week holed up in my room. The pathetic fallacy of it all was not lost on me. Everything was gray. The sky, my heart, my mind, my soul, gray. As I entered the shower, I pressed play on a song that had been a source of comfort and solace for the course of my Christian walk. As the scorching water dripped down over my body, clearing the previous day's grit away, I sang along like I had so many times before. Although it had been years since I had stopped attending church, I still found comfort in gospel music. It was a genre of Christian music that left room for brokenness, grief, and doubts, which were things that marked my spiritual life at that time. Mary Mary's song resonated on the tiles of my little bathroom, and I belted along. And I just can't give up now. I've come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me the road would be easy, and I don't believe. My heart stopped. I had stopped singing. I turned off the faucet and stepped out onto the mat in mournful realization. This one moment would mark a shift in my spiritual life that I never dreamed would happen to me. In my inability to sing that short phrase, I realized the comfort I once found in believing in God that was active in my life, in the life of creation, was gone. My mind raced. When did this happen? How? So what does this mean? Am I an atheist? Why am I not afraid? It took me an hour to shake the shock out of my system that evening. I eventually got dressed and headed out to my appointment for that day, but my heart in many ways never left that little bathroom in that moment in the shower. I don't believe he's brought me this far to leave me. That phrase that I could no longer say with conviction carries a sentiment that has brought me and many others in the margins through trial and tribulation. Knowing that God was present, aware, and cared for my future. Like the Israelites before me, I believe that God was intimately involved and interested in the matters of our hearts and minds. For we do not have a high priest that cannot sympathize. Jesus intercedes for us at the right hand of the Father. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Lo, I am with you always, now and to the ends of the earth. These verses were more than Instagrammable quotes. They were a balm to my weary soul, to the soul of a young black girl who had seen too much too soon. A hopeful light for a queer woman who has yet to understand her fullness. Something to hold on to. The world may hate my thick and curvy feminine figure, vilify my black skin, drown me in poverty, pathologize my sexuality, but at least the creator of the universe has my back. The church may even use and abuse me, but at least I have a friend in the highest place. That was almost 2 years ago. In that time, I've run the gamut of my feelings, beliefs, and fears. I spent many a night avoiding my existential angst, wishing I could be an atheist and call it a day. That would be so much easier. Alas, that was not the case. I was no longer sure who or what it was, but I knew there was more. Over time, I let go of my fear and resistance because I was still being called by spirit. She was waving at me in the practices of my Haitian ancestors, who through their songs, spells, and rituals called upon the loi for guidance, strength, and liberation. She was whispering my name as I lay in child's pose, learning to breathe again. She was holding my hand as I learned to own my voice, speak truth to power, and stand up for my whole self. Spirit was showing me that day that I had once served an idol rooted in whiteness, committed to the powerful. That God was never for me, and I had to lose faith in him to come out of the other side. Thank you.
As a response to these powerful reflections, I invite you to stand and sing, "May the God of Hope go with us through all shifts and change."